It's to the best of our knowledge. I'm Anne Strainchamps. What would it be like to live in a world where magic is still alive? We're headed up to Vermont's Northeast Kingdom today to meet a woman who is doing her best to live a magical life, Icelandic style.
You know, I have Icelandic horses, I have Icelandic friends, I have an Icelandic dog, I wear Icelandic sweaters all the time.
This is Nancy Marie Brown. She's introducing Steve and me to the horses.
Hi.
And the dog.
So what's her name again?
Her name is Edda. Okay. And her job in Iceland originally would have been to scare away the ravens and the eagles that were flying over the sheep. And Edda is a collection of poetry written in Iceland in the Middle Ages. So she's named for one of the things that I study.
So can we just walk around a little bit and see horses?
Yeah, you want to see horses?
And,
there are horses in that field, and there are two along the road here, my two oldest ones. Okay. This is Gaiska. She's 32.
Oh, my goodness.
She's going to come say hi.
Hi. How are you?
We need to get him some water.
The horses were Nancy's gateway to Iceland, to a landscape and culture where magic feels present and alive.
The first time I went, people started putting me on horses because there were some places in Iceland that you can't get to or it's more fun to get to on horseback. So, for instance, I got to ride into Þingvellir, which is the national park where the parliament was held during the saga times. So from 930 to, through the Middle Ages. And we rode into the park like we were chieftains from the saga. And it was just, you know, this magical experience. They sat around the coffee table with me and told me stories out of the sagas. Stories that were 1,000 years old. And these were dairy farmers. But it was a famous place in the sagas. It's a place called Helgafell, Holy Mountain. Farmers just invited me inside and started telling me stories from 1,000 years ago about this particular place.
Yeah. Wow.
Hey, Chuck, could you get the horses some more water?
So here's the question. Why is it so hard to feel that sense of everyday magic here?
I think the problem with the landscape in Vermont or in Pennsylvania, where I grew up, is that we have lost all the stories. We don't have stories from 1,000 years ago. We don't know the Native American stories. I don't even know the name of that hill behind my house. When I go to Iceland, every single rock, every single mountain, every little bit of woods has a story. And everybody knows them, and they keep them alive. Some of them are about magical beings, including elves, and some of them are about ravens or foxes or seals. There are creatures that we can see or that we can't see who live there. So it's this sense that it's not all about humans. It's not all about us.
The stories we tell shape what we see, and also what we don't see. So if you grow up in America, you learn early on that magic isn't real. Landscapes are not enchanted. Invisible beings do not exist. But in Iceland, people can see elves. And maybe we should, too. Nancy Marie Brown is a serious scholar who has made dozens of trips to Iceland and written extensively about Viking history. Her most recent book is called Looking for the Hidden Folk: How Iceland's Elves Can Save the Earth. Steve and I are here hoping to learn what we've been missing.
So there's this story of a road. They were planning to build a road, and some people stepped forward and objected and said, no, you can't build that road because it goes right through an elf chapel. And then it ended up turning into a big legal case. It ended up generating headlines around the world.
The international news media finds it really amusing that Icelanders believe in elves. So whenever you have one of these elf stories coming out of modern-day Iceland, it gets picked up everywhere. It makes this big joke that the elf lobby has stopped a modern-day construction project of a road building. And in the years that I have been going to Iceland and studying Icelandic, I've seen dozens of these stories.
So this was not just a one-off?
This is not a one-off.
Oh,
in
really?
Fact, there's
wow.
probably been one this summer. Hmm. But I always used to just sort of discount this because Icelanders have a really dark, strange sense of humor. And I'm saying, okay, these are my Icelandic friends playing with the news media. In the case that I write about of Galgafrein, the same people who were speaking up for the elves were also in the environmental organization. And this lava field was classified as a nature reserve. And it's one of the few beautiful open spaces that you can easily reach from the city of Reykjavik. There's birds nesting all around there. There are views that are spectacular. And they said, you cannot bring a road through this lava field to a tiny little village town where there's already a road that goes to it. So it's not like these people had been cut off. It's just this would shorten their commute by 15 minutes. It's not worth it. But those arguments didn't go anywhere. So the elf seer, Rockhildr Jonsdottir, wrote a letter to the mayor saying that the elves had asked her to reach out to him, that they would like them to move the road so that it didn't destroy the elf church. And I went to Iceland and decided I needed to talk to Rockhildr. I had met her and I had really liked her, and she had talked about stories about elves. She took me out into the lava field that had been protected, and she didn't say anything about elves.
Hmm.
We spent several hours there. You know, I'm with this famous elf seer, and we're walking through a lava field looking at these beautiful silver-green pillows of moss that were growing on top of some of the rocks and the lichens that were on the rocks. And it was a beautiful day. We were enjoying ourselves. We're hearing the birds and all this. And I'm thinking, what does this have to do with elves? And something happened that day that had never really happened to me in Iceland before, that I still can't process, that I still don't understand. We came back to the parking lot and we were confronted by this very angry woman. She drives up in her car and she's yelling at us that our dog is running through the bird nesting site, which is off limits at this time of year. So we don't have a dog. And she's yelling at us and yelling at us. And Rockhildr finally says, excuse me, do you know who I am? I'm Rockhildr Jonsdottir, the elf seer. I helped preserve this lava field. That didn't help. She was still very angry about this dog and had somehow decided that it was our problem. So we said, okay, we're just going to ignore her. We got in the car. We start driving away. She jumps in her car, and it was as if she was going to cut us off. And suddenly, her car goes up in the air. I'm sitting there in the passenger seat thinking I'm going to get rammed. Her car goes up in the air and comes down, and the steam starts coming out of the front of it. And Rockhildr and I look at each other like, what just happened? And we got out. And the other woman got out, and we look, and there is a rock larger than a basketball underneath the chassis of her car. The car cannot be moved in any way without a wrecker because this rock is between the front wheels and the back wheels, not to mention that there's steam coming out of the front. None of us had ever seen that rock. We'd walked through the parking lot, you know, it's a rock in the middle of the parking lot that is the size of a basketball. How did that get there? How did she not see it? How did she drive over it? And Rockhildr turns to me, she says, now do you believe in the elves? And I'm going, okay, there's something I'm not understanding here. I had dismissed this concept of elves as just being sort of a joke, sort of a touristy thing, but this was something completely different. This was not Tinkerbell or Santa's elves or these little creatures. This was a powerful expression of nature. This was a nature spirit that the Icelanders believe that they can communicate with and that will sometimes protect them and sometimes destroy them. It's another force in the universe.
Yeah.
There's this sense that rocks are inhabited, rocks are inspirited, you know, that maybe they're little people living in there, or maybe they are just rock spirits.
So you spent a fair amount of time with this elf seer, Rockhildr. What is she like?
She's a very ordinary person. She's a grandmother. She likes to bake. She likes to garden. She's an artist. She paints and she draws. But she has seen elves since she was a small child.
What does she say the elves look like? What does she see?
Well, the elves that she sees are very much like people, about the same size. Some of them are smaller. And they are dressed in old-fashioned clothing because they haven't quite, you know, gotten up to the modern day. And that is a function of what elves look like in many of the stories. But otherwise, they are people. And she speaks to them and they speak to her. In fact, when she moved from this one town, one of her elf friends moved with her and now lives in her new backyard. And they just have had a friendship all her life.
Does she say they are physical beings or are they in some other? I mean, obviously they're in some other dimension, but.
Yes, they're in some other dimension. Another story she's told me of a mountain spirit, a very large giantess or ogress type spirit, was that one of her neighbors was collecting sheep, herding sheep down off the mountain. And there's some very steep areas of this mountain. And she'd gotten herself down on some kind of a ledge to get one of the sheep. And she realized that she couldn't get up again and she couldn't get down again, that she was sort of trapped on this ledge and it was icy or slippery in some manner. And she was afraid. And suddenly she felt something come and pick her up and lift her up onto another ledge from which she could easily walk to the top of the hill. She told that story to Rockhildr. When Rockhildr said, I can sense there is a mountain spirit in that mountain, but I can't tell if she is a good spirit or a bad spirit. Do I need to be concerned about her? And so the neighbor told the story and said, I think she's a good spirit.
Yes. So what would be, I mean, that would be a big elf to
That would be a very big elf.
Or so that's a troll?
I mean, could be a troll. Icelanders today will classify the hidden people, the hidden folk, as different kinds of beings. So the hidden people are different from the elves are different from the trolls are different from the mountain spirits. You could find all kinds of classification systems in modern Icelandic, but if you go back far enough to the original earliest texts, poems that were written down in around the 1200s, but that were probably written in the 900s or earlier, all these words are used interchangeably. Whereas the concept that there are spirits in rocks, in mountains, in trees, in rivers, is very ancient. It is the pre-Christian pagan religion of Iceland.
When Christianity came in, not just to Iceland, but around the world, especially through Europe, mm-hmm. it kind of quashed a lot of these old beliefs. Elves and trolls were considered demonic.
Right. And that was the proclaimed purpose of the church through a lot of the Middle Ages, was to get rid of the belief in nature spirits, that any kind of nature spirits were evil, and that we are only to worship the sky gods, not the earth gods. The Icelanders, however, didn't quite get that message from Christianity because they're very far from Rome. They didn't have a very powerful church for hundreds of years. And so the concepts of elves sort of slipped under the radar.
You have a line that I love. Is it crazy to talk to elves? And you say, well, is it any crazier than Christians talking to God?
Yeah. If you think one is crazy, how do you think the other is not crazy? The other point that I really want to bring out is that when we say elf in America, we have this vision of what we mean by that word. And when we say we believe in elves, it's like somebody saying, I believe in Santa Claus. It's obviously childlike nuts. That's not what the Icelanders are saying. What they are saying when they say, I believe in elves, is more like they're saying, I believe in God. And you wouldn't laugh at that.
Yeah. So I'm wondering where all of this fits for you. You've now been to Iceland 35 times or something like that. You mm-hmm. have spent time with the elf seers and you've heard these stories. You've had experiences that you can't explain in any sort of scientific, rational way. Do you believe in elves?
I have a very hard time saying that I believe in elves, but I do believe in elf stories. I think it's very important that we tell stories that encourage us to live simply and to live in harmony and to value the things we cannot see, to value the spirits in the land and in the trees. And what I bring back from Iceland is when I go walking in Vermont or anywhere in this country, I'm paying attention to what is in front of me. I'm walking for exercise, yes, but I'm not listening to a podcast. Sorry, not even yours. I am paying attention to the mushroom, to the butterfly, to the way the light reflects off of the bark of a tree, to the way the sun comes down through the leaves or the sound that the rain makes on the leaves. I'm trying to be wholly present and to open myself to sources of wonder and sources of awe that are all around us.
There's another piece of all of this about the nature of belief, what belief means and why we believe in certain things and why we don't in other things. And we tend to want to draw this very clear line between that's real or that's imaginary. I guess the question is, why do some people see elves and other people looking at the same thing can't see elves?
No one knows. You know, how do we see? What does it mean to see something? Science doesn't even understand how our eyes work.
I mean, that's a fascinating question. Is seeing necessarily looking at an object out there, outside us, or is seeing coming from within?
The papers that I read by neuroscientists pretty much say it's 50-50. Based on what you have been taught, what you've read, what you understand, you expect to see things out there in the world. And if something that you look at doesn't quite fit, your brain will make it fit. If you grow up with stories of elves, you will see them. You will see things happening in the world that you can't explain in any other way. So you will say, I saw an elf.
Nancy Marie Brown is the author of Looking for the Hidden Folk, How Iceland's Elves Can Save the Earth. She's a student of Icelandic literature and culture, leads regular trips to Iceland, and lives on a farm in northern Vermont.